I'm embarrassed to admit that for all the times I have spoken in public over the last 38 years, I've never taken the time to literally just hone in on and talk about planning. We somehow think that there are things that are really spiritual that we ought to talk about in church, and other things that are more mundane that should be left for other places. But my question is, where are we going to learn this stuff? I don't know about you. I went to school. I mean, I'm not trying to be critical of my teachers, but man, there are tons of stuff about life I never learned in a school. I didn't learn how to manage money. I didn't learn how to be married. I didn't learn how to build relationships. I didn't learn how to deal with disappointment. I didn't learn about it in church, because in church we're all going to hell. It took us a long time to get there. I was just thinking, give us some practical advice on the road to hell. Maybe we could do something, you know, air condition it. Maybe we could do that. I don't know. But somehow, you know, they never met. And yet when you study the scriptures, they are profoundly practical. Never more so than at this point of planning. How to make a plan. I'm absolutely still overwhelmed by the number of people who don't have a plan. Oh, I got a plan in my head. Well, you might as well not have one. Right? I mean, seriously, come on. You need a plan. You need a written down. I'd be like you going in Bank America and say, I got some money in here. I'm not sure how much it is. Well, we don't have a record of your account, but just trust me, it's in here. I don't think so. No, we want it down. We want it written down. Listen to what the scriptures say. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm. How long? Forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Isn't that interesting? The purposes of his heart. Purposes driven by love. God is up to something. Has been, is, will continue to be. He has not left the building. He is here working his plan toward redemption, reconciliation, and ultimate restoration to how God sees the world. We're in that stream. We are just a little part. We're in that dash, living our lives, adding, contributing our song, our verse, our little bit in that big drama that God is about. You are here on purpose, and you need a plan. Let me give you five just general perspectives on planning drawn straight from the scriptures. One. Act or be acted upon. It's your choice. If you stand around flat-footed, somebody's going to hit you. And it ain't going to feel good. I remember as a freshman, I'd made the varsity team. Coach Butch Gilbert was teaching us how on the defense to not get hurt. And he says, David, if you always deliver the hit, you'll never get hurt. A thing in motion always brings more energy to the thing it's directed toward. That's the law of physics. So in life, act or be acted upon. If you do nothing, if you wait around, I'm just waiting for something good to happen. It won't. It'll happen to somebody else. Right? Listen to this. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Now, wouldn't that be a great t-shirt? I'm a slugger. Paula verified this. We were at a restaurant this week, and this guy, really nice looking couple, came in, had a little girl sit down, and on the back of his shirt he says, I don't give a F. Seriously. I'm lying, I'm dying. I'm like, I tell Paula, move, I gotta read this. There's no way you turd. I mean, you bad, really? You're going to wear that on a t-shirt? Really? Stay home. Gee whiz. I'm a slugger. Would probably be, you know, I guess this dude probably buy that t-shirt, wouldn't he? Go to the ant, you slugger. Consider its ways. Be wise. It has no commander. no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer. In other words, even an ant knows what margin is and gathers its food in harvest. It stores its provisions in summer. What are we doing in summer? We're going on vacation. We're at the beach. What's an ant doing? He's storing his food for the winter, right? He understands the sun may be shining right now, baby, but it's going to be cold for long. I mean, if an ant, I got a big brain. How about you? I got a big head, so I must have a big brain. It's either brain or bone, and it's debatable which it is. I prefer to believe it's just more brain. But it doesn't matter if you have a brain if you don't use it. Act or be acted upon. Your choice. Always your choice. You don't get to choose all the outcomes, right? We can't choose who loves us, who doesn't. We can't choose if our spouse decides to walk away and there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, there are a lot of things in life over which we have no control. This is one of them. Act or be acted upon. Here's the truth. Life severely punishes the lazy, but lavishly rewards the diligent. Say that with me. Life severely punishes the lazy, but lavishly rewards the diligent. That's point one. Perspective number two. Just to mention it, in case you don't know, in case you hadn't thought about it, God is a planner. Everything we see is ordered. The sun comes up, the sun goes down to come back up again. The seasons come, the seasons go. It is a routine. It is regular. God is planned. He is a planner. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that. So God has a purpose, and that purpose is prevailing. I saw this week, and I hate to mention it, but I hate to let it go too. There are some things that are just so colossal, so stupid. Trying to choose another word for my wife. She hates it when I use that word. There are some things that are so stupid, they just need to be commented on. Did you see on the front of the Tennessean this week, the National Day of Prayer has now been ruled unconstitutional? Really? Okay. Here's my little thing. I'm a speaker for God, so let me make a comment. It doesn't matter what idiot. That's the spiritual word, the Hebrew word for stupid. Rules that prayer is unconstitutional. As Ronald Reagan, that great American, said, as long as there are tests in school, there will be prayer in school. All right, here's my point. Here's what scares me about that. The more a government separates itself from the values and the virtues of its constituency, the more it begs for rebellion. Amen. Now, I hope it doesn't. I certainly am not advocating that. I don't want that to happen. We've lived in relative great peace and all this other stuff. And, you know, and I understand you don't want to. People to have to force religion on me or anybody else. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a government that legislates stuff that is just stupid. Do we not have better things to do? Does a judge not? I'm sorry. Okay, really? Okay, I'm done. All right, I'm sorry. I can go some places I probably shouldn't go with that, but I just want you to know I know that the purposes of the Lord will prevail every time this happens. Some of us, oh, no, what are we going to do? Oh, chill, whatever. Really, seriously. You know, God's going to be God. The American government is not God, you know, and I love it. I'm an American. Yay, God. I'll salute the flag and all the rest of it. But, you know, at the end of the day, governments come and go. Ours come and goes. It will come and go. It's the purposes of God that prevail. I take great comfort in that. Okay? So, enough said. Point number three, I do not, anytime we talk about planning, there are people who say, well, I just like to plan, I just like to go with the flow. Really? Okay. I don't live to plan either. And there are people who do. There are people who are planning to plan, right? You know these people. They got books and notebooks and leather books and stuff, and they got PDAs and PDFs, and they got electronic things, and they wear suits and ties, and they are so rigid. They walk like they got a... I was going to stay a steel rod in their back. Get your mind out of the gutter, people. It's embarrassing to all our radio audience here. But listen to this. What is your life? It is a mist. It appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord's will, we'll live and do this and that. Yeah, I don't live to plan, but I do plan to live. Because life is going to be over really quickly. I mean, it is brief. It is here and it is gone. We're going to bury tomorrow one of the greatest men I've ever known. His name is Hal Wilson. Been a part of the gathering, been a part of my life and Paul's life for a long time. He and his wife, Dickie. And I'm not just saying it because he's a Harley guy. It helps. Here's a guy who just knew how to do it well. He gets cancer. What does he do? Starts a ministry, Christians with Cancer. You know what I'd do if I had cancer? I'd cry, moan, blubber, snot, ask somebody to go beg God to heal me. And while Hal fought and fought valiantly and did everything he could do, he kept his integrity. You know what? When you have it, you can keep it. Here's a guy who planned to live and lived his plan. And he left something so powerful in his brief time. I don't know if you're listening to Dave Ramsey or not, but Ramsey has 4, 5, 6 million people listening to him every day. And the day when Hal passed away, Dave, for 15 minutes, just listed the ways in which Hal Wilson had impacted his life. If you haven't heard it, it's very powerful. When I die, Ramsey better say a whole bunch of nice things about me. And I know where he lives. I'll haunt him. Amen? I mean, you don't get that. You don't make such an impact on people's lives over time without planning to do it. Building a business, building a life, building a family. You can have it all if you define what all is. If all is doing all, having all, going all, being all, then ain't all. We'll talk about that in a second. I do not live to plan, but I do plan to live. Here's another breakthrough for some of you. Perspective number 4. Working on my life should always precede working in my life. But most of us are so busy living in our lives, they don't have any time at all to work on our life. In the Old Testament, it says this, if the axe is dull, sharpen it. I'm just too busy chopping down trees. How's that working for you? I'm bruising them to death. Really? We think time sharpening the axe. We gave Ken and Barbie this weekend that was given to us several years ago. Boy, it you're talking about a great time away to sharpen the axe. Man, it was awesome and a great experience. There are times you just need to, work on your life. As our live event is getting closer on April 30th, I hope you're spreading the word as many people as possible. Man, marriages are in deep trouble. But I hear this constantly from people, and I get them in emails, and people say, you know what? We're doing good right now. You know why you think you're doing good? Because you never stop to really ask your spouse, how am I doing? Because you're scared to death, they'll tell you. Just because you don't have any problems right now doesn't mean you're not in trouble. I don't change oil in my car, and it doesn't do me any, it didn't hurt me. Locks up one day. It's a big ball of steel. Ma'am, did you change your oil? What? What's oil? I just thought it runned. No, it don't just run. Sometimes you have to work on your car instead of driving in your car. Because if you want to drive in your car, you have to work on your car, right? Does it make sense? So time spent working on your marriage, money spent working on your relationships, money spent preparing. I'm just absolutely blown away in our culture. We put so much emphasis on education and learning skill, and we put no emphasis on becoming men and women of strength and integrity and intimacy and faithfulness in our relationships. When relationships rule and trump everything else. Oh, dude, Paul and I, one of the things I think we discovered over the years is sitting across, we've sat across from people whose names are household, who have money, who have power, who have prestige, who have fame, and we've seen them weep over the brokenness of their marriages, over the estrangement of their children, over the bitterness and anger that they have engendered in the people who are supposed to love them best. You want to talk about hell? That's hell right there. If you don't think it's important to work on your life before you live in your life, you will wreck and train wreck, and mighty will be the fall thereof. What did Jesus say? Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? This is an idiom, a form of speech. It's kind of rhetorical. Oh, of course. It's kind of like, if you're going to build a tower, duh. It's like a duh. You sit down and you design the tower. You think whether or not the foundation can be supported of the tower. You figure out how much the tower is going to cost and when it's going to be completed. And you're going to open the tower and bring people in to have, you know, hors d'oeuvres and celebrate the tower, right? I mean, everyone knows how this works, right? Well, evidently, no, not everyone does. And Jesus says, so here's the deal. For he lays a foundation, he's not able to finish it. Everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, the fellow began to build, but he wasn't able to finish. How many people begin but never finish? Does everyone understand? They don't hand out the awards at the starting gate. This coming Saturday, Paul and I will be running in the Music City Marathon. And this is the only thing I guarantee, I will finish. Now, I may be crawling. I may, you know, be drugged. I was drugged. Had a drug problem when I was a kid. They drugged me to church. What's it got to do with anything? Nothing. I just thought of it and just thought I'd say it. But I'm going to finish. I tell you why I know it. I know I'm going to finish because I've been training. I'm not going to show up next Saturday morning, so I'm going to try. No, I'm going to try. Unless something mechanically breaks my leg, my toe, you know, some dog chews off my ear. And if somebody says, I'll give you $1,000 not to finish, then I won't finish. If some of you give me $1,000,000, I won't even go up there. But I'm going to finish. Amen? It's really important to work on your life. It's really important to work on your marriage. And we're begging you, this Making Marriage Fun Again live event, we're just begging you to take advantage of it, not for our benefit, but for yours. We know we can help you save your marriage, and we know marriages are in deep trouble. And we know that one out of every two marriages in America are headed for divorce, and divorce is awful. Period. I didn't say divorce people awful. I just said divorce is painful and it is misery. And it is no answer to anything, by the way, for those of you who are contemplating it. All right? I'm going to work on my life. Here's the last perspective. God is not, and we're talking about planning, okay? God is not an enabler. It's a nice current word, isn't it? God is not your enabler. What is an enabler? Let me define enabling. When your love wounds or diminishes the one you love, you, my friend, are enabler. When your love wounds or diminishes the one you love, then you're doing them no favor by loving them. This is a dilemma of parenthood, isn't it? You know, how much do we make our children work for what they get? Should they buy their own car? Should they pay their own utilities after they're, 18 and 19? I never will forget. This is the week of my graduation. I'm 17 years old. And you got to understand, my father was from another era. He came up and said, "I'm proud of you, son. I think it's time you get out of the house." And I said, "Daddy, don't worry, because I'm already gone, baby." I left home when I was 17 years old. Now, that was good for me. Now, my children, I didn't go to my three daughters and say, "Well, I think you need to leave." Seems cruel to me now to even think of that. But you know what? It worked for me. Wasn't a bad thing for me. My dad, I think, probably read me a lot better than I had read myself. My point being is this, is sometimes you have to stop carrying your baby. Sometimes the baby has to walk, and to learn to walk, which means you're going to fall. Right. Now, translate that simple understanding to your relationship with God. We come to God and we say, "Oh, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And now I'm forgiven. And everything is okay." No, it is not okay. Yes, you're forgiven. Yes, if you were to die and stand before God, you would be forgiven and your sins would be covered. And yay, God, for that. And we would never diminish that. But you know what? We're not dead yet. Just want to remind you. Right? I mean, I'm not, at least. I'm up here. I'm moving, man. I'm going. So to live any way you choose, and you do, people say, "Well, you just can't live any way you want to." Well, you do. Duh. Hello. The goal is to change you want to, isn't it? And how you change you want to? You change your mind, you change your action, you change you want to. Thinking, acting, feeling. This is how we were created. Not feeling, acting, thinking. Blah, yeah, how dumb was I? Right. Right? God is not enabled. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For what a man sows, he reaps. One thing I've never said to my children, I'm fairly sure I'll never say it to them ever, ever, ever. You made your own bed, you might as well sleep in it. Everyone who's ever said that, this is just my opinion, needs to be slapped. That is cruel, particularly when you're down. I mean, I don't know about you, but when you really wake up and see how dumb you've been, you don't need anyone else with their boot on your neck. Can I hear an amen? I'm with it. And I'm not trying to do that. And I wouldn't be a party to doing that. But I'm simply saying is this, is when you get right with God, when you get serious with God, it's going to take some time to be able to get to where you want to be. You won't get there overnight, but you can get there over time. Are you with me? Because God treats you like a person, not a machine. You're not a broken refrigerator. That's why you can't repair a damaged marriage by reading a book. It takes time. It takes training. It takes sowing and nurturing and paying attention. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Yes. If you have hope, you have a future. If you have no hope, you have no future. You give your hope up. And when you give your hope up, you give up any sense of motivation you'll ever have. Hope is a good thing. Hope is a God thing. Hope is the best of things. Hope is one thing I have tattooed on my arm. Want to see? No, I'm not showing you. It's my life word. It's the best word. It's a great word. God will give you hope. And all you got to do is come to him and say, "Father, here I am. Here's my life. Here's what I've made of it. And here's what you can make of it." When you diminish or wound the one you love, then you're an enabler. God's love doesn't wound and it doesn't diminish. God's love lifts, it heals, it redeems, and it restores. And it does it today, and it'll continue to do it in the days ahead. All right? So those are some perspectives. Now, let me give you four questions that you ask so you can write down your life plan. Okay? Here's the first question. What matters most to me? No one can answer that for you. And it's going to be answered a little differently for all of us. The same for all of us, and yet different for all of us. What matters most to you? Listen to what the great missionary Paul said. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and act, to animate your will according to his purpose. So here's what I do. I know God. I love God. I love what he loves. And I move to do what he's blessing. I figure out what matters most to God. In a couple of weeks, we're going to end this series, by the way, with another, I think, equally, next week we're going to talk about how to manage, you know, how to make sense of your dollars, and then how to manage stress. And then on Mother's Day, we're going to talk about how to keep from dating a dud. Yeah, we'll be crowded. We'll have to put out chairs for that one. The last one is how to start something. Paul and I have started in our lifetime, in our marriage, 4 different companies. And looking back on how we started them, they all started the same way. And there are some fundamental things that you do. But before you ever start anything, you have to understand what matters most to me. Let me tell you, there are a lot of reasons this is important. Let me give you only one. You can only do really well a few things on which you constantly place your focus. You can't be everywhere and do everything. You can't read every magazine, read every book. You have to specialize. You have to say, this is what matters most to me. This is the focus. In this Making Marriage Fun Again, we're going to talk about the 7 must-haves in an amazing marriage. And we're going to use the word amazing, A-M-A-Z-I-N-G. The first one, I'll give it to you, is an agreed-upon core. What's the core of our relationship? Listen, with a changeless core, you can endure any change. Without a changeless core, any of the atmospheric changes throw you totally in a tailspin. So what matters most? Here, figure out what matters. Focus on it. Let everything else float on by. Number 2, where do I stand in relation to that affirmation? That's my foundation. That's the foundation on which the house is going to be built. This is the good soil into which the seed is going to be sown. So what matters most to me, and where do I stand right now next to that ideal? It's like if I don't weigh, as long as I don't weigh what the scales say I weigh. Right? Everyone knows that. As long as you don't weigh, you weigh what you think you weigh. Right? Everyone knows this, right? So some of us are so skinny in our mind, we just cast a bigger shadow than others. Right? Where do I stand right now? I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by a bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Boy, that's good. Which means that we all need instruction. We all need training. We all need to get smart. That's a great thing about a brain. Your brain is an amazing gift from God. You can use it to get smarter and smarter and smarter and wiser and wiser and wiser and focus and focus and focus your life and take an assessment of this is where I am and this is where I need to be. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, I weigh too much. I want to lose some weight. Amen? Nothing wrong with that. All of us have been there. Nothing wrong with saying, you know what, my marriage is sick. I need to work on it instead of trying to live in it. Nothing wrong with saying, my focus for my career is all out of balance. The way I spend my time, the way I treat my body, the way I cultivate my spiritual life, the way I ignore my spiritual life until I get to Sunday and hope that the sermon will make up for it. Just saying. What matters most to me? Where do I stand? And then, here's the fun part. Where do I want to be? Where do I want to be? This is the fun part. This is the part where you put pen to paper and you begin to say, God, you being my helper, what could I achieve with my life? I was talking to a guy the other day, going through a tough time in his life, and He said, man, he said, I'm 52 years old and I'm at a place in my life where most people are finishing up their career and now I've got to start all over. I said, yeah, but you're starting all over at 52. Think of that. You're not an idiot like you were at 22. You're a smarter sinner than you were then, right? I mean, if sin don't give you a little bit of education, what's it good for? You're 52 years old. You live to be, you know, 82. You got 30 years to go. You live to be 90. You got 40 years to go. My Lord, that's four generations in the way we measure them now in our culture. So my point is this, is if you say this is what matters most to me, no matter how old you are, where you are, married, unmarried, kids, emptiness, wherever it is, this is what matters most to me. This is where I am. This is where I want to be. Set some goals. Write them down. And understand this, everyone ends up somewhere. Write that down. That's profound. I meant to tell you that and warn you before it came. Because some of you are going, wow. Some of you just came up, whoa, now you're blind. I just knocked you off your feet, didn't I? Aren't you glad you're sitting down? Wow, everyone ends up somewhere. Whew. But few people end up there on purpose. You want to end up somewhere on purpose. I fought the good fight. I have finished the course. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not only for me, Paul said, but for everyone who loves his appearing. Woo! That is a victory chant right there, baby. I'm just telling you, I'm just saying, there are things worse than dying. Oh, trust me, there are. There are things a lot worse than dying. I've seen people die well. And people dying well is pretty awe-inspiring. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not only for me alone, but for all of those who love his appearing. What matters most to me? Where do I stand now? Where do I want to be? And then the last question is just simply this. What am I willing to do to get there? Anybody here, I hate to take my weirdness public, but been taken public before, so why stop now? Anybody here watch Ninja Warrior? I hate to admit that I'd watch G4, what a crappy channel it is, but you know, anybody here watch Ninja? Anybody know what Ninja Warrior is? Oh my gosh. These guys are they not just bizarre? Beyond bizarre. I mean, they're amazing. But what you don't see, if you never watched Ninja Warrior, don't die until you watch it. I mean, just say, God, I got to watch this, then I'm coming home. They have this, you know, they go through this obstacle course and all this stuff. It is amazing what they put themselves through in training for the performance. Listen to what Paul said about training. To win the contest, you must deny yourself many things that would keep you from doing your best. Waste my life, I do what I want to with it. Yeah, you will. That's right. You can. You can waste it. You can throw it away. But if you want your life to matter, if you want to live like a laser headed toward a worthwhile goal, you're going to have to learn how to say no to some things. Amen? So no to some things that other people can say yes to. Because what you say no to determines what you can say yes to tomorrow. An athlete goes to all this trouble just to win a blue ribbon. I mean, these Ninja Warrior guys get not, I don't know, maybe they get some, I don't know what it is. They sure don't look like much. Hey, he won to the top. No one's ever done it before. Let's all go home and eat some burgers. I don't know, what do they do? So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. Yeah, baby. Next Saturday morning when I start out in the Mustang Marathon, I don't know when I'm going to get there, but I know where I'm going. They have marked out the course. And when I get across that starting line, I'll never forget the first race I ever ran. It was back in college. It was downtown Nashville. I think it was a 10K. You ever heard of those things? Yeah, a bunch of liars. I mean, I trained this big old Bubba. You know, I was built for comfort, not for speed. And I went through that thing. It was hot. It was, I don't know how hot it was. It was like 116 in the shade that day. Well, that's what it felt like. I thought I was going to die, and all these people running, you know. And then I saw the fire hydrants open. And I said, man, I'm running through them. Oh, it's great. I was running through fire hydrant every, 500 yards. And I noticed that all the lean, mean, runner type looking people weren't running through those. So about just a mile from the end of it, I looked down and my shoes were pink. And there was little red oozing bubbles coming out every time I had that water. Some of you who know what this means, it had rubbed blisters all up the top and bottom of my feet. And I remember toward the end, it was uphill both ways. And I never will forget going up that hill. So, man, I'm going to sprint through this. I'm going to get this done. And there are two old people. I say old. I think they were like 106. They were gospel music singers. I could tell you who they are and you would know, but I don't want to ruin their testimony because they're both dead. They came up beside me, one on each side came, and the old man, boom, elbowed me. Yeah. I don't believe in purgatory, but I hope he goes there. And they just went me like I was standing still. I'm sorry. I would die before those old farts beat me. I started running everything I could. I wouldn't gain on them. Then I heard the sweetest voice I've ever heard on this planet. And you know what it said? I see you, baby. You're looking good. It was the voice of my wife. Her laugh, I could pick out of a sea of people. Her voice. I see you, baby. You're looking good. Man, I ran up. I beat both those old people. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to elbow him, but I just said, the Lord said, that wouldn't be good. Here's my point. You're in a race. It's called your life. And your heavenly Father is leaning over the banister of heaven. I know I'm just kind of spiritualizing this, but just leave me alone. However it is God does it, through the Holy Spirit is saying, I see you. I love you. You're doing great. Just keep on coming. Just keep on coming. One foot in front of the other. Amen. Just one more day. Just one more time. Just one more try. And I'll get you home safely. Let's pray. Father, I ask you with all of my heart to use this silly little talk of mine to do eternal work in the lives of these amazing men and women. There are so many good, gifted people in this room. So many people with talent and skill whose life is beat up. They've been betrayed. They feel broken on the inside. Maybe some have succeeded in ways that have just left them feeling bored. I pray through the Holy Spirit that you will, in this moment, at this point, drive a stake down in their soul and say, let's get up and let's get going. Let's make some plans and let's do something big and world-changing with your little life. If you let me, I will lead you to places you've never dreamed. I'll take you to heights you could have never hoped. I will make of your life something beautiful. Do it, Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Go get them.